Hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostest, and we have a great show for you tonight. This is our anniversary, yes, the anniversary, 2 years of CB and the Boys. You don't want to miss that. So tune in. We've got some current events. We've got a great topic tonight. We're talking about why Ebony and Ivory just can't seem to live together in perfect harmony. So we've got a lot to talk about on that. We've got some great Black History Month presentations. So tune in. Hang out with us. Here we go.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the Boys. Your host, Special CB Booker, Roger Hawkins, the fabulous media prospect, and George Packer, Boy Home. So get back with the motivation, conversation, music, rocker.
All right, and welcome to CB and the Boys. Got my boys and my girl in the house. This fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta. Hey, Mimi, how are you tonight? Happy anniversary.
Hey. Happy anniversary, CB and the Boys. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Got George Becker Boy Holman in the house. Happy anniversary, George.
It's our anniversary.
Hey.
Yep.
It's all our right. Anniversary.
Oh, shit.
And the hot, talented Roger Hawkins. Happy anniversary, Raj.
Happy anniversary, everybody. We all need some three Tonys in the building.
Yeah.
Good to be here. How's everybody feeling?
Feeling great. Feeling good as hell.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. It seems like good. You want it? Good. No, I'm cool. I don't want that.
Hey, we are two years in. We have made it through the two-year milestone. Hey, we've arrived. We're in. I'm so proud of each and every one of us. It's so exciting.
It becomes a habit.
So, it definitely will. A great habit.
I'm supposed to be here.
Can't wait to make more memories with you guys. This is awesome. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Does everybody have a good work week this week? Anyone have any interesting things they want to share?
I don't know if I did.
Don't everybody speak at once.
Yeah, I've been busy. I don't know if I've been great or good, but I mean, I guess busy is good, so I won't complain. So, yes, it's been very busy, but unfortunately, I do have a little bit of bad news. I have to go home for a funeral of one of my best friend's mom, so I'll be in KC for that, unfortunately, leaving in the morning. But, life well lived. So it'll be back to business as usual next week. But all that being said, we're still here. Everybody's still here. And she was surrounded by the people that loved her. So it's all good. Just going to go celebrate.
Awesome. Well, our condolences to you. Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. Well, it is Black History Month. Well, as you guys know, it is Black History Month. So this is a time where we celebrate people of color and all of the accomplishments and the wonderful things that people have done. And it's really remarkable. As I was doing research on various things pertaining to Black History Month, it's just so amazing to me, just the many accomplishments that Black people have made to this world. I mean, it's a lot. a lot. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, every time you look up, you can't really look around without finding something that, you know, people of color, black people touch, invented, advanced. But unfortunately, the credit wasn't always given, and a lot of times it was, you know, swept under the rug and things like that. But I like to see the things pop up on the timelines and pop up on the different people's feeds. You know, I think about the traffic light there. More again, I think about light bulbs and filaments. I think about, you know, cotton gin, the real McCoy, the lubricating mechanism. It goes on and on and on. I always say people should stop and think about what they say. If they say, hey, go back to where you came from and things like that. If we were to take everything that we invented, brought, or came up with, this place would go dark and they'd go right back to cave. I'm just saying, you can't touch a thing that we haven't improved on or made better or brought about. So it's just really food for thought, you know. And that's, you know, it's true. Just look around.
Well, in honor of Black History Month, you know, Maya Angelou has some wonderful poems. But one that really stands out and one of her most popular is called Still I Rise. So I'm going to read that in honor of Black History Month. So here we go. Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eye? Shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard? Cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Powerful.
Just powerful.
It's like
that woman's mind to put the paper.
Wow. Oh my God. It's like you get goosebumps just reading that. It was just it's so powerful.
Definitely.
So powerful. Yeah.
It's pretty provocative for the time frame, believe it or not. If you think about it. I'm being honest. I mean, some of that was like, whoa, think about the time when that was written. Man, but that was just her. She was just, again, when you're a trailblazer, you have to be that stuff. Well,
yeah. It's amazing. Mm. She was just such a talent, and she's got so many other poems. And I was looking at other poets, Paul Laurence Dunbar, Gwendolyn Brooks. I remember in preschool, I played, I recited Paul Laurence Dunbar's In the Morning, which I still can remember part of it, not all of it, but part of it. And I was like either 3 or 4 when I did that. So that shows this is not long ago, but, you know, when you read poems like that and they use the slavery dialect, it's rather hard to read. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I was able to recite that at 3 or 4 was quite the feat. Anyway, so moving on. So current history, current events. Did you guys know that Ron DeSantis of Florida is trying to pass a bill, whereas it is against the law for white people to be made uncomfortable? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I know we kind of kept going, but what's next, you know?
Yeah.
So what would
right.
do you know what the
right.
what would be the punishment? What would be the punishment? I mean,
critical race theory, basically. They don't want to be reminded of slavery. They don't want to be reminded of the sins of the past is what it boils down to. And it's really frustrating because it's like it's erasing our history. You know, the thing is, and I know it sounds cliche, but we didn't ask to be here. We were chilling on the beaches of Africa, running free, happy. You know, we didn't ask to be transported and swept up from our homeland and brought to a strange land where we're mistreated and waiting on other people and building a whole other nation on the sweat of our backs. So they want to erase that. And I, in my opinion, I think that it's wrong. I think it further divides this country. As you think that it couldn't get more divided than it is right now. But something like that is really going to throw it in a tailspin, and people are tossing around the phrase civil war. And do you guys think that it is remotely possible that we could be headed for a civil war?
With the way the country is today, anything is possible. Just anything is possible, for real. I am not surprised at anything, and I'm ready for anything. That's just it. I mean, we just cannot live looking at the news and thinking, oh, my God, this could be that day or this could be that month, and they said this, and the news is saying that, and being on our tippy toes and everybody on the edge. I'm not even trying to live like that, because at the end of the day, that's them trying to control us. I'm not trying to be controlled like that. I'm sorry. That's why it's like a lot of conversation I can't partake in, because I automatically get upset. And look, I'm not even black. This is like some Caribbean, Puerto Rican mixed up shit over here.
But hey, but you all started in the same place. You started in the same place.
Right.
Your family tree might branch a little bit. You might have some extra roots. But listen, if you got melanin, you started in the same place. And
that's
a point to make.
I get so mad.
That, yeah.
Right. How the hell do you erase?
That's the real.
How do you erase the history of a people? How the fuck do you come to your senses to, like, you know what, let's just erase everything that happened from, like, 19, whatever, go backwards. Hell to the night. No.
Yeah.
Traversing,
people are...
you do the Tom Sawyer. You get that paintbrush,
well, people...
whitewash that thing.
Right, right. Well, people seem to be getting more and more comfortable with using slavery terms. There was some Arkansas senator or some senator from one of the slave states who made a remark saying that things were much simpler during slavery time and he would like to see it go back to that. And I'm like, that's a pretty bold statement. Like, Like, what? So it's quite disturbing,
to
say the least.
See, when people say they're shocked and they're surprised and stuff, I'm not. I'm 100% not. It's not a surprise when you, just because, see, like they always say, some people think they're people that say it. Very much the case. So you're just finally, it's kind of like the Homer Simpson, when he's not supposed to say it, it's supposed to be up here, and then it comes out. It's like the exact same thing. Yeah, you're not supposed to, but because people have become emboldened by other people that may have power or whatever, they go, you know what, now I've got the courage to say what I probably wouldn't have done before if I would have felt like I was standing alone. Now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a surprise to me when people get really up in arms about this, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later on, believe it or not, it's important. But it's interesting because it does seem like we've come, we haven't, in my opinion, we haven't come all that, we've come far, but if you think about it, it's not even been 100 years or so since the last sharecropper walked off the plantation, given like a half of a millennium of slavery, and then all of a sudden they want to spin it right back to that. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of crazy to say. I think it was easier back then. Well, you want to say it, but I'm pretty sure your folks did have it easy. The women didn't have to nurse their own babies. The men didn't have to work their own farms. Nobody had to do anything because you had free labor. Hell yeah, that's easy. I'd want to go back to it too if I thought I could finish it. But it's scary because people in high positions feel like that as well. It's not just some hillbilly or whatever talking out of the side of his neck. This is people that are politically powerful, affiliated financially. These are the people that are making these comments they used to make in the back room, and now they're making it at the front door. So when you say, do I think it's possible? Yeah, I think anything is possible. I think, fortunately, there are people that still understand that a house divided cannot stand. So we fight amongst ourselves, country. We're just set up for somebody to come right on in. I mean, we're already proving that we can be whipped over the internet. But if we were to actually break down and go back to fighting, physically fighting amongst ourselves in this country, we'd be the United States or somewhere else real quickly. China, Ukraine, right? We somewhere. Ukraine, Russia. I mean, they're all waiting. They're all just watching, laughing because of the ignorance. So can it happen?
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope people are smart enough to realize what's really going on. It's like when you egg the kids on the fight, the bully eggs them on, but he never gets in trouble. He stands back and instigates. I feel like a lot of that is going on. Knock that off his shoulder, you know.
Right.
Hit my head.
Well, Mimi.
Ooh, he hit you.
Well, Mimi, on that note, I think we could all use a drink. So, George,
yeah,
you're
I was over here sipping.
Now it's time for Mimi's Fine Wine.
I was waiting for this. I had to sit just a little while ago. You know, I get excited whenever this segment, because my segment is short. It's short and sweet. This is some watermelon. This is a watermelon margarita. I don't do the whole salt and sugar and all this stuff. This goes well with everything, and that is it. Cheers. Happy anniversary. One love. God bless. And that's all I have to say.
Oh.
Short and sweet.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And there you have it.
I like it.
There you got
it.
Short, sweet, to the point. Watermelon margarita. Let's go.
Sounds good.
I'm not going to walk in the store and all for it, but I'll send somebody to do it for me. You know, I'll be the seller back 50 years if I did that shit.
Hey, look, and I'm going to just share this right quick because I know that we're going to slip into the fitness center, right? The fitness center with Raj over there. 200 calories, 32 grams of sugar. It's not the best thing for us, but one every so often is not bad. It's our anniversary, so we're gonna do this.
Agreed. All right. Anniversary is great. Oh, thank you, Mimi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Digging it.
All right. So now it's time for Roger's underwater fitness, because it's going to sound like he's underwater. Roll that underwater footage, George. Here we go.
If you get some flabby and flimmy flam, then check this out. Roger's fitness tip of the week.
what we're actually going to do is we're going to try to get a video up for you guys a little bit later on that I've been promising. So we'll get back to that. But I did want to incorporate, I know oftentimes I get into the, you know, the actual physicality of it, just moving, shaping, things like that. I want to reiterate stretching. I've got to reiterate water intake, but let's go to calories, caloric intake. So part of that is, if we tell ourselves we're on a diet, I don't like that word, because if we say we're on a diet and we're thinking of a step and such, how long is it going to last? I've got to do this until when? So you have to look at it as a lifestyle change. The one thing I've never told anybody was quit anything. I mean, unless it was going to be tomorrow, then, you know. But I'm not going to tell you to cut anything out. Mimi did make a great point when she said, hey, 200 calories, X, Y, Z, grams of sugar, fat, whatever the case may be. Really, this is a number change. And based on what you want to do, if you want to, you know, add muscle, if you want to lose weight, if you want to lose inches, if you want to gain stamina, it all comes down to it's a numbers game. You know, if we talk
about...
Since
you are in the little section of numbers, I don't want you to go too far and then I forget my question. So,
okay.
If somebody takes in 300 calories, can they jump on a treadmill and do 500, you know, knock off 500 calories and everything is okay? They have wiped out the 300 calories that they had earlier in the day?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's what people have to understand. Yeah, you're right. When I say numbers, I mean that. I mean negative and positive. So you have to think about it. We get tricked a lot of times. I mean, they're putting nutritional value on things now. And because for a lot of years, people, there's two types of calories. There's a calorie with a little C, and there's a calorie with a big C. And it really stands for kilocalories. And so that's misleading. So a while ago, they were pressured to make that change. That being said, in all honesty, yes, you can. So if you've got an app and it tells you, okay, if you want to lose 2 pounds a week, you've got to consume this many calories a day, but you've got to work out this much. Or you don't even have to work out, just this many calories. So it's all about numbers. If your caloric intake is 2,000 a day, and you know you're going to want to drink about 600 calories worth of margarita, guess what? Like you said, you get on that treadmill or whatever you want to do, you burn 500 to 600, and you're all for the good. Or, you know, you can incorporate that. So, yes, that's very, very true. I still do that, believe it or not. If I know I'm going to have, you know, that kind of an evening with the boys or whatever, I will go keep a little closer track on the calories I burn if I go to the gym or if I go to the track or if I go to the hills or whatever. You can type all of that in. There are lots of free apps. And you can literally type in anything. You can type in food anywhere. I typed in quick trip food in Vegas when I was here, and it pulled it up because I had that in KC. You go somewhere and eat Red Robin. You go somewhere and eat food chips. It will literally give you the caloric count of any meal, any snack, and you can add it if it's not there. So you'll hear me say over and over and over again, don't cheat yourself. This is exactly how you don't cheat yourself, but you get to have a cheat meal, you get to have a cheat day, and you don't cheat yourself. If you know you want to go out and really let loose, don't starve yourself. Worst thing you can do. But give yourself room. Give yourself room to enjoy that and not hate yourself in the morning. So that's a really, really good question. I mean, we're just talking numbers. It's a numbers game. So if you're truthful and honest with yourself, maybe you can still do what you need to do. Get stronger, lose weight, absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully we'll get this video later on, but we're working on it.
All right.
Just a little extra added.
If it's on your screen, just go ahead and hit it. It looks like.
Somebody got something to say.
Right. Always one in the house.
Hey, don't leave me out. Shoot, I got something to say about calories.
Right. That's my granddog. Sorry, guys. He wants to be heard.
That dog run you down in the sidewalk, shit, you lose some calories for sure.
That part.
That part.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's funny because he's barely a year, but he's, you know, he's, you know, said that. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
baby,
there's a lot going on, though. Oh, we lost you, Doug.
No. Not a lead guy.
Right, we lost our
engineer. Get your butt back in here.
George is playing musical chairs. There we go. All right. So do we have video? No video? Do.
Well, I said earlier it was going to take a while. And nobody.
You said what?
We'll get there. I still want you guys to see it for the anniversary show. We're going to have a little bit. We're moving right along.
All right. Moving on. All right. We will be right back after the station ID break. Or not.
Hey, everybody. It's me, CD. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and talk things out. CB and the boys, join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
There you go.
Let's work on a new song.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anniversary thing.
Hey, yeah, man. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Sounds good.
What's
I got the second tenor.
I got the top. Oh, you got top, Bill?
Yeah.
I'll take the bass. All right.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's move. Stop.
Yeah, I like that one.
Really, really sounds good, man.
Hey,
man, you too have.
Hey, man, what about the bass, man?
The bass, man.
Always.
Always
good. Okay, I'll tell you what then. Let's do it again.
One more time.
All right,
still don't piss me. I still don't care.
All right, come on.
Funny how time flies. Another year. Together here with a love so very strong.
So while we're celebrating like this, we'll take a toast to the years to come. 'Cause it's
anniversary and good cheer. Happy anniversary.
My dear.
Well, Harry, sure sounds good today.
I like this.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks, Harry.
All right. And that was Ray Goodman and Brown, and happy anniversary in honor of our anniversary. Nothing like that good anniversary song. Anyway. A good anniversary song. I like Ray Goodman and Brown. It's a classic.
Yeah, but it's such lovey dove, and where's my girl? Let's have a...
Right.
That's how they used to come. That's what they
yeah,
used
and
to
Tony, do. Tony, Tony does the same thing.
A little more. Hey. A little more upbeat than that, baby. Hey.
Whoa.
There we go. Did you just do that?
Yes. You ain't even got to play the whole thing.
Tomorrow will come, and girl, I can't wait. It's our anniversary. The first thing I'll do is run straight to you. It's our anniversary. It's our
hey.
Thank you, George.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful night.
Hey.
Break out the champagne. Everybody get a glass.
Yes, we just going to have a concert right
Let's
now.
Let's start it off sexy. What do you say?
Yes, hello. Let's go.
And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life. Where trouble is a bubble in a champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gon' do it like this.
Got an addiction for life in this baby. Like every day is my birthday. Know what I'm getting. Can't reserve time, not that's where I'm sitting. Me and my friends in self-sickness and independence. And my attitude so chill and so breezy. And my designer suit that makes this look easy. Sexy baby, don't you dare act like you don't see me. Baby, I know you see me. It's all about this.
Simplify. He don't love you anymore. Just walk.
You was doing good, but then you went too far.
We're messing up the
this or that. Or that. All right, here we go. Or not.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we? We all know that people are the same wherever you go. There is good and bad in everyone. Learn to live. Learn to give each other what we need to survive. Together alive. Ebony and ivory.
And there you have it. The incomparable Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, Ebony and Ivory. Classic. Great.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
So, let's talk
Man down.
Man down, what happened? Oh, Lord.
Sit down. 911. What's the number to 911?
We all raised our glasses, and somebody didn't. Now, even if she raises her water bottle, I'm not going to believe what's in it now. I'm thinking she's probably sipping on Grandpa's old cough medicine. But, you know, I'll be throwing it out there.
Uh-oh.
I'm not drinking anything, actually.
Well, maybe you should be.
Well, she could have won. That could have been a was before the show.
I'm not currently. Hey, I drink on my left when I drive on my right. That way I get home. But wow. Anywho, that was fun though. I guess it's always, it's never a dull moment.
It's our anniversary month. We should have fun. And we'll have more fun week and next week and till our anniversary's done and then, you know.
Yeah, while in the midst of Black History Month, you know, so it's CB and the Boys Anniversary Month. It's going to be every Black History Month.
Yeah.
You know,
every month.
Black History Month is every month of the year. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
You just don't change to gray or some shit come March.
Fool somebody every day on it, too. And then, on top of that, get angry like I do and remind them that they chose the shortest month. Just passive aggressive shit. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's every week.
Well,
every
I saw this post earlier today on Instagram, and I'm going to share it with you guys. I wish I had actually sent the picture over to George so he could show it. But it says, the next time you use your navigational device software like Google Maps, thank Dr. Gladys West. And you guys can look her up, Dr. Gladys West. She is the inventor, because she did it, the inventor of the GPS technology. So for my beautiful white folks out there that have issues with Black people, next time you think about using your GPS, think about that. It's a Black woman that invented it. And oh, so beautiful.
Wow.
It's real though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have to let you guys know whenever you decide, oh my gosh, Joey, I'm lost. I really can't find it. Let me turn my GPS on. Think about Dr. Gladys West.
Then they're going to get mad when it's recalculating and doesn't show them some shit. See, I knew it. I'm gonna be late.
Or when it makes them make a left turn into a wall. That's what you get.
There you go.
Yeah. Dr. Gladys pissed off at y'all.
It's man-made. All man-made.
Now go figure.
Okay?
They did that, but it's got Becky's voice on it.
Hey, and the thing about it is, I think, believe it or not, and somebody call and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. The individual in particular we're talking about, I think, is from the KC area. The woman whose voice was used originally, because, you know. Garvin,
yeah, Overland Park. No, yeah, you're right. She was from Overland Park.
Overland Park. So anytime you want to get pissed off at Karen, she's not too far from our neck of the woods.
Right. Hey, but look, just to put rhyme to reason, your ever so faded home security systems that you find in all the homes nowadays.
Uh-huh. Right.
1969, invented by a Black woman, Mary Van Britten Brown.
So ADT,
okay. Take that.
Wow. We're everywhere. You know, we're everywhere. But yeah,
why can't we all get along? You know?
Exactly. Which puts us into our topic. Very clever, Mimi. Love it. All right. So we're talking about today, Ebony and Ivory, and why we can't just seem to get along.
Somebody always hating. That's why.
Why do you think that is?
You know where that,
yeah,
that stems from? That stems from people's upbringing. That's really what it is. Because I posted the cutest little video on my Instagram today of these two little Black boys that had brought a ball back to this little white boy. And he was like, thank you for bringing my ball. And the other little Black boy was like, you know, we wanted to ring the doorbell, but, you know, the other one was scared or whatever. And he's like, can I give you a hug? And they hugged. And it was so innocent and it was so beautiful, you know. And that's just to tell you, like, you know, hate is thought. That's not like some feeling you just you're born with, and it's like, I just I hate this color or that color.
You know where part of the big struggle is? I'm going to tell you what part of the big struggle in this whole breakdown is. Because the way people are, I'm not going to say the way they're coming up now, but what they're seeing over the last two decades, as they grow, as kids grow up, they form their own opinions, and they don't have the same opinions as the people in the past.
Yeah.
And where that brings a problem is that our older, our elderly generation is the generation that was born and raised in that racism era.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Everybody, all of our LGBT people now all came up in a segregated lifestyle. So
yes. That is,
they
that
were
is
born
true.
And raised into that. So they don't see things the way the people that have been born in the last two or three decades see things. From the
right.
70s, 80s, and 90s, they can't. They don't see things the way those children did. The 70s, 80s, and 90s kids did. They don't see things the same way, because they were raised in a segregated area. So that's what they know. That's what they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't be mad at them for teaching that to their kids, but at some point you got to wake up and smell the roses. You're like, hey, this ain't the shit no more. You know what I mean?
Right.
So why are you going to teach them that? So, I mean, okay, I get it. That's how you grew up, and that's all you knew. But guess what? Open your motherfucking eyes. There's some new shit going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where the big clash is. But when all those people are dead and gone, it's going to be different. It just will. It's just going to take time for that change to happen. Because you have people still living on the planet that were born and raised in that era of time. So that's how they think, and that's all they know. And unfortunately, that spills into everybody else that's coming up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So these 80s and 90s and 2000s kids are all, they're torn in two directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
All their older people are saying, fuck the other race. But all the ones that are coming up are going like, well, what do you mean, fuck the other race? They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand that whole argument, other than what little bit they get taught in school, maybe, which they stop teaching in school pretty much nowadays. They don't teach us. At one point, they stopped teaching cursive handwriting. Where does that make sense at?
But
you know
what's
how
really
you
interesting
sign
thing
legal
that I
document?
Yeah, no, I don't even really know how to do that. Like, I was skipped from second to fourth, and we learned how to write cursive, like, in the third grade. So when I write, it's like cursive and block letters put all together. Just looks like rice and beans. But look, it's understood, whatever. We can bypass that. I'm not holding that shit against nobody. I didn't learn it. I didn't care. My mother didn't care. She's like, this
so
is
what
you
said
in the fifth grade.
So what you're saying is you don't know how to sign a legal document.
Look, my signature is really like the doctor's signature, okay?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, like the cursive thing. I love it.
Look, first of all, they didn't come back to me. Yeah, they didn't come back to me and say, Minerva, you did not learn how to write cursive last year. We're going to teach you this year. That shit did not happen in my school. They just kept it going. They were like, shit, she's smart. That's all she needs to know is just have a brain.
I love writing cursive just to mess people up right now. Like, young people do, they look at that like, oh, shit, what is this magic? They don't know. But
Right.
It's crazy. I don't know. I think that's, George, I think your take is interesting because here's what I do and don't agree with. I don't agree that it's about necessarily the elders as much as I think that you say it's going to phase out. That's kind of like saying that there's only going to be one particular color eventually. I think that, you know, the whole melting pot fallible theory applies. Mimi said it a minute ago. Racism is taught, which means it doesn't matter how old or young someone is, if granddad or dad or grandma or mom, whoever, teaches a new generation, guess what? It passes on. So it won't stop. There's no way to make it stop unless you shut down the genesis. That's not going to happen. I also think that where the problem comes in is, even when you see those, like, I love that, like what you saw with the little kids and all that. We talked about that. Remember the video that went viral with the little black boy and little white boy running and hugging each other? I mean,
I love that.
Have no soul if that doesn't get you. That was the most amazing thing. I've had lots of white best friends. I mean, I was in an all black school and an all white school. Didn't matter. You can't help who you love, you know? But
right.
Unfortunately, there will come a time when each person will be like, why does that person do, you know, if you notice, you know, I'm trying to go out for basketball, and after like eighth grade, 80% of the team look like this. I'm trying to go out for track, but 80% of the team looks like this. I want to do, the math camp, but 80% of the people look like, unfortunately, we develop our own prejudices and biases if we're not stop early and told, hey, don't let that stop you from trying to excel. But the minute you go home and go, you know, dad, everybody on the team looks like so-and-so, and he goes, well, that's what they do. And all of a sudden they begin to think, well, they must be either superior or inferior. You can't teach that. And so, unfortunately, it doesn't matter what you see because you're being influenced. So it's kind of a nature versus nurture thing. You know, part of it is what you observe just growing. And then part of it is what is pushed into you. Remember that billboard? I don't know if it was in the whole country, but we had a billboard back in the 80s, 90s, and it was called, it said, no one is born a bigot. And it had the black baby and the white baby together or whatever. No one's born a bigot. You're not. You have to be taught to be afraid of the dark or afraid of dogs. You have to be shown or given an example. It has to happen to you or you have to be shown. Because instinctively, we just go through life until you're shown that, you know what, don't go to fire. Don't play with fire, it burns. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So no one is born prejudiced. You love who you love. If you like someone because of their hair or their eyes or their height, you do. Until someone tells you not to like them for those very, very same qualities. And so I look at it now. Let's go back to Ebony and Ivory in particular. It's fear. I don't give a shit what you call it. It's fear. Because if a group knows we've done a lot of wrong, we've done a lot of people wrong, we're just hanging on by a thread. But we also recognize that one particular group has a lot of power, a lot of ability, but we've got to make sure they don't know or see their full potential or we're in trouble. Or unify with other groups that we've done wrong because things will change. Again, a house divided cannot stand. It goes for, you know, cultures. It goes for anything. And so if you stop and think about it, the people that are afraid, they know exactly what they're afraid of. It's the other people that are being kind of held at bay that need to recognize, hey, this is what they're afraid of. I already understand. I have to walk this walk every day. I'm in a very diverse place, but I have to walk this walk all the time. What people think, their first impression, what they may fear, what they may not know. I try to educate people one person at a time. You know how many times I have to go somewhere and do something for a group of people that see me go, oh, because they're all 5 foot tall, or they all expect one thing, and then you open your mouth and they get another thing, and they're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And you have to teach, you have to educate. It's hard to not be mad or angry or pissed off, or offended or hurt all the time. I use it strategically. But that being said, the reason we can't get along is because at the base of it, home, grandparents, parents, whatever, are not teaching acceptance. They're deliberately not teaching acceptance. They're deliberately teaching separatism. And I don't know how you stop that with millions and billions of people unless there's a way to have a group meeting with everybody on the planet and go, we cannot do this anymore. But So when you see someone who influences you, when you see someone or hear someone that you look up to, it makes you say, I'm going to emulate that individual. And if we have an opportunity, like I said, I would like to get into this situation that's been going on in the news. I don't know if you guys have heard, but just along these lines, there's an issue going on with Whoopi Goldberg, and there's an issue going on with Joe Rogan. Now, if you don't know much about one or the other, I know we all pretty much know about Whoopi. But she got in trouble, and she got suspended from The View for 2 weeks because she basically made, in their opinion, in some people's opinion, an insensitive remark about the Holocaust, whereas she made it seem as though it wasn't as bad as maybe something else. And certain people didn't like it. It happened to be the people that kind of run things. So they didn't like that. She got suspended. Now, Joe Rogan says the word nigger like I say good morning. Every day, all day, every day, very comfortably. But he's very wealthy. He's highly paid. He's got his own podcast. He's been going through a lot of different stuff, you know, with artists and things like that that don't approve of him. And they, you know, he's... the difference is, unfortunately, Joe Rogan is a white male. That is like the top of the food chain. If you're a white male, you can say or do anything to get away with it. Whoopi Goldberg is damn near at the bottom. She's a black woman. And then she's a black woman who's intelligent, who's achieved quite a bit, so she's even more of a threat to some people, and that pisses them off. So just if you pay attention to the differences, there are celebrities, people that are out there literally defending
Rogan,
mm-hmm,
and attacking Whoopi. And here's what's interesting. The Jewish community basically said, you know what, she needs to stop using the last name Goldberg, which she adopted, because they said, well, you know what, if she feels like this, she should stop using the last name Goldberg that she took on because she doesn't feel like we went through anything. My thought is, sure, she needs to go back to her God-given name, whatever that may be, but then white, Jewish, and everybody else needs to stop using every fucking thing that we ever gave them that they stole, be that dance moves, music, rhythm, anything in mathematics, and see, they're not going to do that. So it's not an even playing field. It's like, you know, we get to make the rules. We also get to break the rules. So, again, the fear, it's like, if I can get something from you, you're okay. If I can utilize you. But if I have no use for you, you're useless, and therefore you need to be eradicated. That's the problem. It's that the differences are that they scare people. You're afraid if you think this person, I can't see into them. I can't see through them. They may be faster. They may be stronger. They may be more intelligent. And that's not how it's supposed to be, because I wrote the book. And if I wrote the book and the rules, why is it that these people aren't complying? And unfortunately, I don't think that that's something that can ever change, because you're going to eventually develop, people always develop prejudices. If you're the shortest person in your class and everybody's tall and they get away with things that you can't do because you're short, you're probably going to have a little bit of an issue. You may get over it, but you're going to have a little bit of an issue. If everybody, you know, automatically is more flexible and you can't do certain stretches, you're going to hate gym class or whatever. If people always don't have to do homework and they get all the answers right and you have to study hard, 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 and you still struggle, you're going to get frustrated. But how you deal with that is the difference, and the dealing with it doesn't mean destroying what you don't understand or what maybe you don't feel like you can conquer. So that, and this country has that really, really bad. But mm-hmm. That's just my thought. I don't know. What do you guys think about why? What's the why behind the lack of, you know, unity and things like that in this country in particular?
I don't know. There's just a lot of politics and a lot of status and a lot of – it's just bad. It's bad all around. And I just honestly think that this whole thing went south. As soon as they took the praying out of school and the Bibles out of school and everything out of school, I just think it just went haywire from there, when you could no longer, you know, hold your damn child by the neck and slam them against the wall because they want to go out there and smoke weed and rob and shit. You know what I'm saying? We just, I mean, you know, it's like the authorities just gave the path for the kids to spaz out, for parents to go crazy, for politics to step in, for the authorities to say what you can and can't do. And it just went crazy from there. And this, to me, this just really happened with it. This must have been going on for a very long time. But I think that it, for me personally, it happened when it happened to me. You know, when my daughter was 17 and I called the police station to find out, at what age can these kids really cut up? And they said, she's 17. She can just walk out if she wants to. That's when I just knew, okay, there's going to be some problem in my world because I'm not used to this shit. I'm used to controlling my shit. You know what I'm saying? And when I no longer have control, or when I have the police department telling me, oh, your daughter can do whatever the hell she wants. She's 17, but she ain't out of school, but she's 17. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, whoa. And then it
but
just went south from there.
Her units, unifying equality, because yeah, in this country, pretty much you have to raise your children to 16, and then they don't have to go to school technically. 16
right.
is clear. Even
right.
even in spite of that, do you think you prepared
right.
your child to be accepting of other people, other situations, or just to say, hey, I got to fend for me?
Right. Okay. Well, with that being said, her father is black. I'm Puerto Rican. She was raised in the Virgin Islands. She was raised around nothing but love, acceptance. You know what I'm saying? Like I've said, we have from blonde hair, blue eyes, to the darkest person with the worst hair. You know, you go, you pull up to a beach in the Caribbean, that might just be my entire family. You know, so I come from that. She comes from that. She's just a lover of all people. And then she gets here to the States and she has to be told, you know, you can't talk to this person because that, or why is your hair like this, or why does your mother look like that? And it was really like unreal for her, like, Ma, like, what's going on out there? Because that is something I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't prepared for it either, because coming from the Virgin Islands, it's all love. So I get here to the States and I'm introduced to this whole thing, especially here in Georgia. I didn't do no homework, no statistics, no what's happening, no whether there was segregation, no who hates who, the black and white thing. I don't care about that type of shit. I was like, it doesn't affect me because I'm not like that. But what I didn't think of is that people are going to be like that towards me just because I'm Latina. Like now you walk into a place and you're having a conversation and folks need to know where you're from before they can even like fully give you their 100% embrace is, oh, you're Caribbean, Puerto Rican. Okay. Well, your section is over there and that's where you're going to find this, this, and this because over here might be too expensive. What?
Wow.
So, yeah, and I still go through that little reality of things happening every so often. That's why I'm just like, you know what? Maybe because I am an extremist. I am that one, and I'm going to say this because I can. I am that one that will tear some shit up just because I done got that angry just that quick about somebody telling me what I can or can't do just because of the color of my skin or the fact that I'm Latina. Like, we're not doing that. I'm not dealing with. I don't even know how I would deal with that on this level now that I don't have babies at home and, you know, I'm in another air and space and I'm dealing with all this on the media, if it all makes sense.
Yeah. I think we teach people how to treat. We teach people how to treat.
Right. We can teach our kids how to love all day long. We're going to
yeah.
be lovers and we're going to embrace, but they're going to get out there and they're going to deal with that bullshit reality. With somebody telling them some bullshit, and then it's like, Mom, you know, you told me I should love all people and embrace all people because, you know, that's who we are. But then they get out there themselves and they're dealing with the other shit. It's like, how do they deal with that? You know,
the lessons change as you get older. The lessons have to change. They do,
yeah.
because you're going to deal with people in a different situation. School is one thing, work is another, childhood is one thing, adulthood is another. Again,
right.
Geography, you know, location, that's all very different. There are people that are actually taught, they're explained to, upon entering this country, how to treat and address certain groups of people. I know for a fact that happens. If they come from a particular
mm-hmm.
country, and they want to open a business here or they want to live somewhere, you know, they are told, hey, don't deal with this group. This group does X, Y, Z. This group does, you know, A, B, C. They're told that. I've been told by these people.
That must be on a very extreme level, like whether you're coming from Nigeria or China or India. But if you're coming from the islands, which is all U.S., we should not be subjected to that type of bullshit. It's like, we all are one. What happened to that? You know what I'm saying?
People don't believe that. If people believe they're inherently superior, you're never going to change that. You're not going to tell somebody, hey, we're all equal. They're going to go, no. You guys can be equal. We're better. And you tell me, if you show me how to convince someone of that, and I'll show you a way to become rich, because you're not going to convince one group that believes they're at the top of the pile that they're just in the middle with everybody else. It doesn't happen, because for so long, the narrative has been, hey, we wrote the story, we made the rules, therefore we get to call the shots. And unfortunately, like I say all the time, unfortunately being black in America is like starting a game of Monopoly being three rolls behind because, you know, you've got to find your way with what's left. And it doesn't mean it can't happen. It just means you have to be, you know, very intelligent. You have to be wily. You just have to learn how to play the game. We're not, you know, built to win, but, you know, born to lose. So what do you do with that? You prove people wrong. You can't get mad about it because the only thing you can do is say, well, I'm just not going to live here. All right. You can't be mad. You can let that fuel you, but you can't just be mad and just give up. It's the sad reality. That's why I have to teach my kids. The sad reality is you're going to have obstacles, but here I'm going to equip you so that you can overcome them, prove naysayers wrong, and then you get the last laugh. But being upset and pouting and folding your arms and giving up, that's not in my vocabulary, you know?
For sure.
I do think this generation, like George was saying earlier about the generational gap, I do think that this particular generation, as much as I talk bad to my children, that their generation is soft as butter, which they are. They're weak as shit. But they're very intelligent. They have a lot of things accessible to them, and I don't care if one of them is listening, you know, fight me for it. But I will say this. They are super accepting. I've never seen so many groups of eclectically mixed people walking around. You have a couple of, you know, you have a Polynesian, you have an Asian, you have a couple of black kids, a couple of mixed kids, they all hang, a couple of white kids. I love that. I love that so much because they're like, yo, that's my guy. I don't care what his two parents look like, or that's my homegirl. I don't care what her two parents look like. I do love that part. They are very, very accepting. And our generation was pretty good at it. These last couple are very accepting of diversity. They just know, hey, he's tall, so he gets the stuff that's up high. You know, she's small, so she gets all the things in tight spaces. He's good at math. He keeps track of the money. And she's good with, you know, whatever. They make it work. I do love
that.
Yeah,
but
gives me a little bit of hope. But, man, a lot of people need to die before.
Right. But look, you have all these kids that are together, and this is how they think, because they're living in an era where it's all of them together, and it's like a melting pot of the same little generation in their teenage years, and they're still living at home, and this is how they feel. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Okay, then they go to college. Then they're out here in the world. Then that reality hits, and then they become that other thing that us adults are a part of right now, you know. So it's an ongoing thing.
Right.
But CB, go ahead, because I'm sorry. We can go into this into the after show with one subject.
It's okay. What I was going to impart is that they hate us because they can't be us, and by that I mean when you think about it's human nature to, instead of trying to understand something, you hate it. You try to tear it down. You try to belittle it. You try to, you know, just tear it down, belittle it, you know, make it less than what it is, making that person feel less than what they are. And the reason that they do this is because they don't understand us. Because they couldn't fathom what our ancestry has been through and what some of us still go through.
Mm-hmm.
And they want us, as evidenced by the tanning salons, you know, not running out of clientele. You see them sunning themselves on the beaches, you know, risking skin cancer to get golden brown like us. So they want to be us to an extent. And because they can't have that, and the thing is, we are a powerful people. It's been evident by the achievements that we've done, the things that we've done. You know, we've built nations, literally, off of the sweat of our backs. So we are a powerful people, and they recognize that, and it scares the hell out of them. I don't know if you guys remember, some months back, it was either last year or the year before, but there was a thing going on with the Black Militia and the KKK. And the Black Militia literally went into the KKK's territory because there was this thing out where they were saying that at 8 o'clock they were going to start shooting Black people. So the militia was like, not on our watch. So they literally went, confronted them. KKK was nowhere in sight. They were on their property at their location, ready for whatever. And KKK was nowhere in sight, nowhere. So they fear us because they can't beat us, and they know they can't beat us. If the rest of, if everybody band together and pulled their heads out of their asses and out of the asses of that slave mentality, we would be a powerful, powerful, powerful movement. You know, unlike no other. So,
but you know,
they're
what,
afraid
sis?
Of what they don't understand.
If I may say something, the thing about mm-hmm. that is, as powerful, powerful, powerful as we might be, you still have those that even within, like, you know, whenever they want to step out and do something real huge, like, okay, look, let's all get together and go down the street and march and do our thing. You're going to still have a fraction of those people that are going to want to burn cars, burn buildings, do this, do that, you know, and mess up their whole city, you know, just to prove a point when it's not even about that, you know. So
right.
that's really where it goes to, too, when you think, yeah, we can all get together and agree on one thing and make some stuff happen and see how we can go about making changes. But when you want to freaking rally, and you want to get out mm-hmm. here, you want to start destroying cities and fires everywhere, and you know, and of course, you know, it's happening in Black communities, or it's happening in our city,
yeah.
and it's happening by the Black people, then that's
yeah. it takes
another topic to
dream.
Talk about. It takes away from
yeah.
from what we're really trying to do. So you have, you
it
know,
does.
It's good and there's it's bad. You know, so we're going to always have that really Black spotlight on us. No matter what we try to do.
Well, there's two sets of rules, too.
But the thing is,
you
have to keep in mind.
Two sets of rules. You know, I'm
just saying that you're right. It's never right for destruction and all that. But let a bunch of, let's call them soccer hooligans, let them lose a game. They can go tear up the whole downtown. It's like, oh, they're just mischievous youths. Let a group of Black people just walk. And people want to shoot them. See, it's again, I agree. CB said it's about the fear and things of that nature. People fear what they can't understand. They fear what they can't necessarily conquer, divide, and overtake. But the rules, mm-hmm. they're two sets of rules, so there's no way to win. If anything I do is okay, no matter what, I can start walking this way and say, everybody walk this way. Change directions, and it's okay. It's my rule. If you walk this way and do anything differently, you're wrong. There's no way to win a game like that. So it's not about who destroys what. I agree with what you're saying. You don't tear up home, which is all we can do. If you realize the looting and all that, it happens only in the neighborhoods where it affects the people of color. You can't come to those affluent neighborhoods and do that shit. They'll have the National Guard and police and everybody right there waiting on you. So I just wish people would see what it really is and understand that you're tearing up your own neighborhoods. But again, when you look at the other group that do that, not nearly the same backlash. Hell, they broke into the Capitol. If you can break into the Capitol and go home, I don't know what to tell you. Like I said, hell, they break into our homes.
And right.
They can't come out.
Right.
So who sets the rules?
Look. No, I'm listening. No, I'm all for what you're saying. I was listening to what Phoebe was saying just now when she said, you know, about the militia and the fact that, you know, they had showed up and it's like KKK wasn't nowhere to be found. That's because there's a saying that that my mother used to always say, a monkey knows what tree to climb.
Mm.
Meaning KKK would not have had a chance because the blacks are showing up in masses. This is not a, oh, we're going to bring this cross and put it in your property and burn it and perhaps burn your house down if you guys don't move out of this neighborhood. No, the blacks are showing up in masses and they'll be done burn their houses down. Like, it's so extreme now. It's not, there's no fair like how there was fair back in the day. It's some other shit happening now. You know, so you just got to respect, you got to respect it for what it is. They knew not to show up because they knew what would have happened.
And so you've heard the term safety in numbers, right? That's the point we're making. Most of the time when things like that occurred in the past, it was, first of all, unsuspected. So if you're at your home just doing your thing peacefully and a mob shows up outside of your house, you're outnumbered. You're going to lose. You're right. One-on-one, 10-on-10, 100-on-100, things are different. People are a lot bolder when they've got the upper hand. So you're right. If you encounter someone who's prepared and they have equal numbers, much different. And I think we all understand
Look,
that.
It's either
so,
equal numbers or a freaking AK-47 and a machine gun. Shit.
Well, you know, the one thing my buddy says all the time is they didn't stop making guns when they made yours. They didn't stop making guns when they made mine. It's not who, it's not how many you shoot, it's who you shoot. And the man that gets the first shot off can win.
Yeah, but the times back then were totally different to the times now. The times now, you know, black people are just much, much bolder than they were back then. Back then it was a fair thing. You know, you try some bullshit, you might get hung. Your wife might get raped. You know, it was just so crazy back then. You know, but today everybody's showing out.
Is that, believe it or not, with the passage of some of the, well, not the passage, but the attempt at some of these, you know, laws and things like that, they're trying to take it back to that. I agree that, you know what, it's a lot of non-tolerance because what other cultures don't realize is you're one step away from going, you know, we're going straight for blacks to we're going for people that are all brown to we're going for people that are just slightly tan. And they don't realize that, you know, right now it may not be knocking at your door, but eventually it will. It rolls downhill. That's how it happens. And so this is where the unification process needs to occur. It just won't happen because most of the other groups are being purchased. They're being promised preferential treatment, special. And again, people have to look out for their own interests. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, everybody is at risk as long as one particular group or faction thinks that, you know what, we have absolute power because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so I think that's why, you know, more people ought to wake up and realize, you know, we're the most heavily attacked. We're not the only. And eventually, you know, a predator doesn't care what it eats when it's hungry. And if it runs out of one type of food, it's going to go for another. So I agree, unification is probably the one and only answer. Now, how that may occur, I don't know. People are so caught up in just the differences in appearance, which is ridiculous, but it's still true, even today.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all agree. If it comes down to one word, why can't we? What's the difference? Fear.
CB.
Yes, yes.
Moving right along.
We have a caller.
Hold on, we have a caller.
Oh, let's go. 203, you're on with CB and the voice. State your name.
Hey, this is Rome. How y'all doing?
All right, how you doing?
Rome, how are you?
I'm good, man. First time calling in, checking you guys out. I'm just tuning in, so I'm just catching up to what the conversation is.
Okay.
What do you
think? Gotcha.
Yeah. I heard one thing the lady said that I didn't agree with, but I didn't want to just jump right in saying that, but because I don't think it's harder now. Like, I don't agree with, like, it was easier or fair back then. It was harder. It was harder, and that's a foundation of what you got people acting like they act now. That's the pride you have now is from what happened back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a backbone because it was harder, you know. It's easier now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we don't get it now, I don't know when we ever get it. That's what I tell my kids. I see it in my kids. It's the psychology of it all from back then. That's still we don't have a grasp on of how we don't know how much of a success we really are, how much of an accomplishment we really are as a people. It's still this idea that you think we're broken, but we're not. If anything in history tells you is everything they try to do to break us, which is a continuing story because they have yet to break us.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, the wars get told by the winners and stuff, that's why even our leaders, I think one thing black people have to realize is that we as a black people, while we might all be black people, African Americans, whatever you want to call yourself, we're still all different. I think that's one thing we don't get as a people. That, like,
that's
me, true. As a black person doesn't think like you as a black person. You know, we're both black people, we don't think the same. You know, I think that's the one thing we don't get. You know, that's why, you know, Evans didn't agree with Martin Luther King. That's why we have so many activists. We have so many leaders that didn't even agree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So many angles of how we should do right. You know,
mm-hmm.
How can we get ahead? How can we do this and that? But, you know, I think overall, what I try to teach my kids is at least the fact that it's not the story that's told of being lesser than.
Mm-hmm.
It's the latter that we're more than, and that's what they want to stop. They want to stop the progression that's inevitable. That's why I continue to try to stop it, no matter what's the case. I mean, we own more homes in the Jim Crow era than we do now. We had more of a middle class and family structure during the Jim Crow era than we do now. So what's that tell you? You know? And that's enough that if things are easier now, then how are we here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That is true. That is true.
Good point.
You gave some really good points.
Right.
So, your opinion, do you think that we're headed for a civil war? Can you see signs of that happening now?
The signs of a civil war, that's not for us. The civil war that I can see happening is
mm-hmm.
who you see it happening to, which is an attack of capital. It's a civil war of a white man. Civil war is attack of people on its own people. It's a white against white. The civil war between white and blacks has been happening plenty of times and more times over. We're more or less in the aspect, in the seat of, like, I told you so. Ain't nothing new to us here. Ain't new to us, you know, even with the pandemic, the psychology of being locked in and confined.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't new to us. We ain't going crazy. Who going crazy? You know what I'm saying? Now the jail's in your house. Who's going crazy? We ain't going crazy. So the Civil War, it's the burst of the bubbles happening.
Mm-hmm.
People realize what they thought they had. They ain't really have nothing. What they realize is what was done on to us is now being done on to you.
That
part.
This is the second coming. It's the second coming. You spazzing out. Now it's not nigga, it's Karen, and now you hurt. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You hurt because Karen? It's not even, like, nigga, it's not even a thing no more. It's like, oh, you calling me Karen? Oh, my God, this is crazy. They don't even have a law to condemn someone from calling you a nigga, but now they have, like, a law if you act like a Karen. That in itself
is right.
It's like, come on.
It goes back to what if I mean, you might have missed that part of the segment, but she was talking about how they're trying to make it illegal to make white people uncomfortable because so many people are educating themselves and their children and whatnot on what really happened, not what we were told or shown. And that's actually part of it. You can say nigga all day, but you can't say Karen because now Karen has a negative connotation. And that's enough to make white people uncomfortable. So that should tell everyone who makes the rule.
Well, you can say Karen. The Karen Act is if you act like a Karen, you're liable for acting like a Karen.
So far, there's freedom of speech. So far. But it's only a matter of time. If they're trying to actually reverse a lot of amendments and things like that, freedom of speech could potentially be one of them, or it could be their, freedom of speech, but, or dot, dot, dot. I mean, these very small changes in legislation and rules and things happen every day, and nobody can keep up with them. So you may wake up today and your home is owned by somebody different. You don't even know about it. You may wake up today and what was legal yesterday may be illegal today. And again, that's not something that we can keep up with. You would spend every moment of your life, and we just can't do that. So I think what you said earlier made a good point, my man, when you were talking about what we're showing our kids. It comes down to education. I can't outsource my children's knowledge and pride and things like that to an institution that's been long broken, which is the American school system. Yes, they have to go to school up to a certain point, but if it's something I need them to know, to understand clearly and to maybe practice, I have to be their teacher. I'm not going to allow some person who's underpaid and unhappy to go into a classroom and maybe download some bullshit that they're unhappy about onto my child's hard drive, if you know what I mean. Because we are often at the mercy of subjective opinion when it comes to being instructed. Mm-hmm. So,
true, man. That's what I said. Well, listen, man, I'm American. I live here. I love it because of the freedom. It's always been the freedom, regardless of how dark it can get. But we've been here, and that's a fact. Everywhere I go is where I belong. That's why I tell my kids, don't ever feel out of place. I don't care where you are. You belong there. It's yours.
That's right.
Remember that.
Now it may not look like it now since I've...
But history tells you that too, though. It's in the history, regardless of what they want to tell you. America would never lie to you. They may manipulate the truth, but the onus is on you. I mean, you hear. I mean, one of the phrases, one of the things to say was like, "Where's the best place to hide a secret from a nigga?" In a book. Just open up a book, because everything goes for the same, even beyond education, the job you have. Why you got a boss then? You don't need the boss. Why you got that middleman? It's capitalist. Why you work for someone? That goes for everything in life itself. Teach yourself. I tell my kids, question me. I don't know everything. Who am I? You know what I'm saying? Respect is one thing, but I'm your guidance, but teach yourself as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the point of America. That's the American dream. At the end of it, at the core of it all. So it's like you can't blame nothing at one point. You can't say, oh, it's this person's fault. You can't hate the system that you live in. Regardless of how much you not want to live in it, you are part of it because you're here. You know, you might not like how it played out, but it's a way out. The trap is a factor to make you think it's no way out. That's the trap to make you think they ain't controlling the whole thing. Ain't no one in control of nothing. Nothing. Everyone got a plan till they punch in the face. Ain't no one controlling nothing. You may think you got the control, but you don't. But listen, all I know for the black, what I see, man, we got black renaissance. We got Hawk. There's so much. They tell us a little bit, but that little bit is enough to show you that's the whole foundation of everything that's everything around you. Man. So it's like, how are you going to tell me you got Frederick Douglass and we all oppressed, but the white guy said, oh, this one black guy's okay to be, like, political? That shit don't even make sense, man. And if everyone comes from Africa, we all spread out, that means you got black Europeans, you got black, you know, we was all the same cloth, man. People want to talk about Tuskegee. That was his school. Tuskegee was a black man's school, and he knew what was happening. They don't tell you that, though. They didn't tell you the black man knew he was being injected. That was part of the whole plot. That was the point. So it's like there's black people that could do to you, too. It's like it's not about none of that, but because everyone is about the money. You can go as deep and crazy as you want. But the sad thing is that we sit here and we ask for the same help from people that we think are doing the oppression. You can't do it like that. I don't work like that. I can't. If I think you're oppressing me, well, I'm going to ask you to stop the oppression. What we should do is what we've been doing back then. When it came down, it was like all respect, but if you come to my lawn, my house, I'm taking your head off. I ain't going to ask you for nothing. I'll ask for it later. After I take your head off. And that's what we used to do. We don't do it that much. We don't do that much now. We don't do it like that now. I don't think we do.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We definitely value your opinion. Where are you calling from? What state?
I live in Connecticut now, from Yonkers, New York.
Okay, that's okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. I'm going to stay tuned and keep listening.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed night.
All righty. You
too.
Yeah.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, I like it. You know what?
Great dude.
He definitely had some stuff to unpack, so I can appreciate that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some strong words.
Yeah, really good insight.
But
that's awesome.
Well,
so let me ask you this. Kind of speaking to Karen, what do y'all think? Did you see the Karen video of Karen at Burger King?
Oh God!
Oh yeah, when the Burger King was burning down and she pulled up and demanded that
she
they give her money back. Yeah, I saw that.
Right. He said, "Hand the king, walk in, shit, go, walk right in."
I just thought that was just absolutely crazy. She cussing everybody out. Yeah. You know, there's a reason that they all standing outside and there's smoke rolling down the top of the building. I mean, come on.
Not smoke. You could actually see flames.
Right. Hey, I wish I was there. I'd have been like, yeah, go right inside. Meet me at the counter. I'll get you.
Then it would have turned to something else.
I was like, wow.
See how well that would have worked out. Smart dummy.
I can't believe you wanted me to go to the counter and get the money in a burning building. That would have been the shit.
Right.
That would have been something.
Right.
There's always something to carry.
New smart dummy.
Yeah.
How bad do you want it? Bad boy.
Ridiculous. It's like just the level of entitlement that the Karens are exhibiting, the behavior. It's like, come on.
Oh, they've been getting beat down, though. They've been getting beat down lately. You show up being a Karen if you want to.
Where at?
Getting beat the hell down. They're thinking twice about that shit now.
Look, they got another one out there where another one, she did a U-turn in the Burger King drive-thru.
What?
And wouldn't move. She did a U-turn in the Burger King drive-thru and wouldn't move out, stopped the whole line, and called the police because they wouldn't get out of her way.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one. Yeah, and the lady
where the hell
was
they
filming
do that
it the whole time, and she was blocking, and it was so ridiculous.
Right.
And the cops were getting mad at Karen, and Karen couldn't understand why the cops weren't on her side. It was the most hilarious thing.
like, dummy, you in a drive-thru. You can't go that way.
Well, nobody went through and flattened her tires. Like, nobody did. Nobody helped out her. Accidentally. I'm trying to understand. I deal with how I do.
The level of entitlement is just insane. And the things that they do is just insane. And what's so crazy is that many of them are really, really coming to grips with the consequences of their actions. Because they think, they feel that entitlement. They feel that, you know, because they're white, they can do whatever they want, that white privilege. And it's so ridiculous. I mean, think about it. If a black person commits a crime, we get the book thrown at us. But if a white person commits that same crime, they may not even see the inside of jail.
There's not a lot of made to it. I mean, yeah. that's why Martha Dean is a gangster. And what's her name? Steve's girl, Martha.
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart and Paula Deen.
Hell yeah.
Martha Stewart got a little bit. She got a little bit of chocolate juice. She got just a little bit of chocolate juice up in her veins.
Yeah, I'm about to say, every time they cut the commercial,
she got some Snoop juice running through them veins.
She black by injection.
She got some Snoop juice. She got some Snoop juice running through them veins.
What's going on over there? Martha, I'm going to tear your mouth out.
Hey, I love her. Though. I love her. She did her little time.
Oh,
she came out. She went straight back to the network, got her little cooking show and shit.
I like them together.
She did,
I don't know why it's weird. It's weird, but I like them together. It's weird, but I like it.
Because, you know,
that's just as weird as Flavor Flav and Sylvester Stallone's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah. That was the odd couple, like, man. I did not see that one coming.
Right.
She really
and
was.
She really
I was like,
did fall for him. That's the crazy thing. She really was his ride or die, like, for real.
But
and
what's
that
weird,
really, we did not see that one coming.
Like, the rumor is he's a really, really intelligent dude. I mean, he's wild out on some stuff, but my understanding is he's, like, a really smart dude. And, again, charismatic people get over a lot of times when you don't think that they would. See, looks ain't everything, especially when you're bringing a whole lot of other to the table. Apparently, Flav is like the man in certain ways. So, I can really respect that. Like, you know, I think he plays instruments. I think he's a really highly intelligent dude. He got caught out there a couple of times.
He got his game tight.
He got caught up in that clock.
Hey, he got called for that clock, but shit, he's got stories about certain people we'll never have. Shit, Flav was setting them up and knocking them down.
Let me tell you something. Look, just like in today's world, in the entertainment industry, there is so much competition out here that you literally have to do something to stand out from the rest. And his thing was his big clock. If you saw somebody else with a big clock, it's like, dude, stop trying to be like Flav. He's the only one that rocks the big clock. Come on now.
Right.
Which is that's something that's going to always be, no matter what. When he's gone, he'll be known for stuff like that. And call it what you want. When you die, will the whole world know something about you, whether it was a gimmick, whether it was novelty, you know what I mean? If you write a book or whatever,
right.
But for work, he's been an entertainer, an artist, a rapper, all this shit. So regardless of where he's coming from and what falls he's taking, this dude has kind of cemented himself in hip hop culture in a lot of ways. So
right.
You got to give him his flowers. You got to give him
Look,
his flowers.
And 20 years from now, if you hear Flavor Flav, you know who that was.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You see the clock.
Yeah. I mean,
for the love of Flavor.
You got to think of it. And I think he's here in Vegas quite a bit, you know. I mean, I think he's got a daughter that lives here, and he's got restaurants. So one way or the other, the man is making it through. You know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah,
how the hell do we get here? How the hell do we get here? People are afraid. And Flavor Flav, what happened?
It went from ebony and ivory to Karen to
the hard left.
Hey,
fuck it, I'm going off.
Who made a left? We were supposed to make a right.
Right. And hopefully we covered everything we were supposed to cover. CBS, is that a yes?
We did.
That's
and good. Did some, as always. What the hell
never,
was that?
Never enough.
That was our anniversary shout out.
Okay.
Hey, we just let it fly on the anniversary. We just let it fly. That's what you're supposed to do. If you make plans, if you realize, if you have a relationship, when you make plans, if they go wrong, one person's like, whatever, and the other person, like, has a meltdown, you got to let the chips fall where they may. So that's what we had to do tonight. That's true anniversary shit for you. You have to just let whatever happens, happens. Because you don't want to be disappointed in any way, shape, or form. Did you smile? Did you have fun?
Right.
I did. It was a good night.
Right. Well, guys, I know that we have like to the hour, and I'm going to be the first one to say one love, God bless. It has been really, really nice because I already know how we flow. We're going to go all the way to the wire, and then we're going to try to do something different and get caught off. We're not trying to do that. So I'm about to start it off. One love, God bless. See you guys next week. Happy anniversary, CB and the boys. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, and if you do, cover your shit, especially your face.
Okay.
I like you. Damn, Mimi, she came out hardcore.
I know.
Don't
I was dirty for her.
Cover your face.
I know. I roll in hard. That's how I do.
Don't do anything I would do. Because I might end up on your permanent record and you sleeping outside.
Okay.
I'm a bad influence. What can I say? It's like that sometimes. Hey, we all have a calling.
Hey, we do. Don't judge. We're all here. Nobody has made it to judgment day yet. We're all here. We still got a chance.
Judge, but. All right.
Damn.
All right. Yours is like ball thing. You notice that? He likes to put up shit with no hair.
That's why he got the control. That's why he got the control.
Right there.
Yeah. Here's something with some hair.
That's my guy right there.
Go.
Go. All right.
Go.
Master Yoda's a man. So, yeah.
Well, all right.
Are you George?
I guess with that being said, following me, myself, peace, love. And hair grease.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And thank you for helping us celebrate our anniversary. this whole month, so get ready for more fun next week. Same time, same station. Remember, you can do and be anything you want in this world as long as you believe in yourself, but above all things, love yourself. Remember, true love starts with loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, how can you expect to love someone else or to give someone else an awesome opportunity to love you if you don't love you? Remember, at the end of the day, all you have is you, yourself, and you. And you have to be comfortable with you. Remember that. We love you. We appreciate you. Don't forget to go to our YouTube, like us, and subscribe. If you're watching us right now, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and so we can continue to bring you more. So we made this two-year milestone, which is quite a feat for many businesses. Some don't make it. But we have overcome, and we've got so much more to show you and so much more to do. So look forward to that. Don't forget to join us on our cruise, April 5th, heading to the Bahamas on Royal Caribbean. And if you're interested in coming along with us, if you're watching us, George has the ticker going across the bottom with the information. And you can also hit us up, CB@CBandTheBoys.org, Mimi@CBandTheBoys.org, George@CBandTheBoys.org, or Roger@CBandTheBoys.org. So hit up any of us, and we'll be more than happy to send that information to you. Now, without further ado, we want to say shout out to BTS. Jimin, one of the members of BTS, as everyone knows, is my favorite group, so of course I'm going to mention them. Of course, why not? Anniversary. Anyway, so Jimin was diagnosed with COVID, which he has now recovered from. But on top of that, he also had appendicitis, so that's a double whammy. So he's recuperating from all of that now and going into emergency surgery. So shout out to Jimin. And shout out to everyone. You know, this is a tough time we've all been going through. And we all miss concerts. And we all miss, you know, being able to be together, even though some people are acting like COVID never happened. I won't say no names, but you know who you are. Anyway, just be careful. Use common sense. Remember, COVID is not gone. It is still here. And even if you are vaccinated, just remember it is a vaccine. It is not a cure. So still, use common sense. Listen to the CDC, social distance whenever possible, and wear your mask. I know you don't like wearing your mask. I don't like wearing mine. But I would rather wear my mask and live than not and die. Think about that.
Ooh.
So you guys enjoy the rest of your work week. Hopefully you've got some motivation. You've had music, laughter, and hopefully you had a whole lot of fun. And remember, we're not done. So we'll see you next week for part two of our anniversary celebration. And to take us home, of course, is my favorite group, BTS. And here is Mic Drop, because we have made this two-year milestone. So Mic Drop is definitely a fitting song. So here we go. Boom. Mic Drop. See you next week. Bye-bye. I don't pay, bike, drive, boom, to the yard, pay, but okay, I'm all even got the techie, yard, okay, go to perk, see what you get, stop, hey, go to the world, best man, catch you, pop it, else me, match you, munch you, hunt you, eat less, got you, monkey, don't count you, hot you, bunch you, Mike, bunching, black, bunching, man, I go, got, I get to my eyes, bike, stopping, me and it, dear boy, me and it, worldwide. I'm not a good person. 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 I'm not a good person.